Here at Eatontown, New Jersey on Tuesday morning, July 17th at a mini marathon on preventing relapse. You're going to start in just a minute. Okay, I'm set up for you, Janet. Good morning, everybody. Service, please. Quiet, everyone. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Janice, powerless over food.
Hi, Janice.
Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
As we extend the heart and hand of OA fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution of our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you're welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself? Thank you. So welcome to Eatontown. We are a literature meeting. We meet on Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, and we study the voices of recovery. Trying to keep our head screwed on straight and keep this negative illness that I have, that we all have, from talking the bad stuff. So last year we did an event that was something a little different. We decided to do a positive, upbeat marathon workshop, and we had so much fun with it, we decided we're going to do it again. So a few reminders before we start. This is a no-phone zone. Please silence all electronic devices. If you need to make a phone call, please take it upstairs and outside of the building because sound really carries. And the bathrooms are through the door up the stairs and to the left. If you go up this door, you go all the way down the hallway. Water will be available in the kitchen at the break only. It's for donation, whatever you feel you want to give. If you take a bottle of water, just put it in the basket there. And we're requesting authorized people only in the kitchen, please. Remember that we're all grown-ups here. If you spill something, wipe it up. And I see a hand. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Thank you. And when you sign in, please remember to put your little piece of paper, your little slip of paper. That's your contact information for the raffle that we'll be doing. Little slip of paper with your name on it in the blue bag. Okay. But for people that are joining us for dinner afterwards, we're going to need to take a head count a little later on, so think about whether you're going to be joining us for dinner. Okay, so with everyone comfortably seated, we are dressed becomingly, according to our just for today. I hope everyone got one. And we're here to learn something good and share our ideas with our fellow compulsive overeaters, according to Think First, also available on the table. So we will begin after this message.
So our Eatontown meeting was wondering what it would be like if OA had a commercial like those Lay and Pay stores or commercials or the gyms. So this is what we came up with. Hi, my name is Jenny, and I lost over 100 pounds on the OA program of recovery. Most importantly, I've actually been able to keep it off. My face is out of focus because OA is an anonymous program, plus all the credit goes to my higher power. In this amazing program, you will buy, weigh, measure, and cook your own food every day based on the individualized food plan that you develop with your sponsor. You'll also go to several meetings every week with other compulsive overeaters just like me. Finally, every day, you will pray, meditate, make phone calls, write about your feelings, read OA literature, set up an action plan, and work the 12 steps. Even after you lose the weight, you'll want to keep coming back and doing all those things one day at a time for the rest of your life. And as a bonus, you get serenity, better relationships with others, and a whole lot better with yourself. Best of all, there are no contracts, dues, or fees. All you have to do is admit that your life has become unmanageable and that you want to stop. To join now, oh, did I miss my cue? Okay. To join now, call the number at the bottom of the screen. Or go to the website. For more information, you can find a meeting. Okay, I got that down because I lost my place. Okay, that's to find a meeting near you. No appointment is necessary, and we happily accept walk-ins. Compared to those diet programs that offer for a quick fix, OA is definitely not attractive. But now, picture an OA meeting or a mini marathon, and think about seeing all those wonderful, happy, smiling, and clear-eyed people who are enjoying and improving their lives abstinently one day at a time. Wouldn't you want to be one of them too? Now that's the attraction. Paid for by the Eatontown Tuesday meeting of Overeaters
Tonight. Thank you, Jenny. Alrighty.
That was nice. Okay. Give it on the stool.
Really?
Sorry.
We're so organized. We think we'll just keep coming back, you know. Okay, so. Direct your attention to the handout. I'm going to be reading where it says Speaker 1. This is Voices of Recovery from page 16. Those of us who live this program don't simply carry the message. We are the message. Each day we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery. That's from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of OA. When I first walked into the rooms of OA, I was like a candle whose light was flickering and close to going out. I was sick in mind, body, and spirit. I was hopeless. Many members describe OA as the last house on the block. I do not know if that is true. I do not know where the block begins and ends. I do know that what I found in OA can only be found in the heart and mind of another recovering compulsive overeater. The flickering light became stronger, and the hopelessness turned into hopefulness. I can be a living example or a dying example of how the program works. My courage to recover and my experience in OA serve as an example to those who know me. I represent and carry the message of hope. Voices of Recovery, page 16. So without further ado or commercials, I would like to introduce Jim.
Good morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Hi, my name is Jim. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. Also, part of my story is I am also an incest survivor. My battle with my disease has gone on as far as I can remember back to as a small child. I was put on my first diet when I was 7 or 8, then I failed the diet for the next 40 some odd years. And something else I battled with as a child was depression. And my depression got really bad, and I actually started seeing therapists when I was 14. And I would see therapists off and on for the next 30-odd years without really any help. My depression got really bad when I was about 18. I was out of high school. I was looking for a job. I couldn't find one. And I was also struggling with my sexuality at this time. And I really believed at one point that I would be better dead than having to tell anybody who I really was. And luckily, my sister saw that I was in trouble. She made me go get help, and I did. And I started seeing another therapist, and this one actually helped me. And I was doing better, except for the fact that at this time I also started using alcohol and drugs just as compulsively as I did food. And I would spend pretty much almost all of my 20s either drunk, stoned, or eating so much I physically could not move. I'll just go through my medical stuff. I just kept gaining weight and gaining weight. No matter what I did, it didn't work. When I was 25, I had lost a lot of weight. I went down to 220 pounds, and I thought my life was great. And then I was diagnosed with Graves' disease, which is a thyroid issue. I had my thyroid destroyed, and in the next 3 months, I actually put back on every single pound that I had lost. And this continued over the following few years, and I just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Then in 1999, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and she was given 14 months. And that was a huge stress on my entire family, and food was the only thing that I found comfort in. And as the year went on, I started having another issue with myself. I felt a lump in my throat, and my doctor said that, "You're too fat for me to feel anything, and you're too fat for you to feel anything." But I badgered him into doing something, and on the same day that my mother got her cancer diagnosis, I had a biopsy of my thyroid. And the next few months was September 1st, this is 2000. September 1st, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. September 7th, my mom came home with hospice care. She was in the last stages of her disease. She died October 9th. With me holding her hand. October 23rd, I had my surgery to remove my thyroid. The first week of December, I went back in the hospital and I had to have radiation treatment because it was in my lymph nodes, so I was in the hospital quarantined for 3 days. Then February 7th, my dad died, and I found him when I went to the house. And then March 25th, I was in a car accident, and I slammed my head into the roof of my car. And if I had been just a few inches shorter, I would have went into the windshield or through the windshield. And to say by this point that I was beaten, battered, and bruised is just the understatement that doesn't even cover it. And it really is at this point where I just stopped caring about anything, and my eating just got out of control. And by September of 2007, I hit my all-time high weight of 530 pounds. And I had so many medical issues. It was compounded by my weight. I wasn't doing anything. All my doctors were yelling at me. And I just didn't care. I just couldn't do anything. In several hospitalizations and several visits on death's door several times, September of 2010, just really quick, I was diagnosed. I had congestive heart failure the month before my 31st birthday, and they never could find the cause because I needed to be under 300 pounds to do any kind of invasive test, which I never did. So in September 2010, I was hospitalized with congestive heart failure a second time. And I was home alone, and I couldn't breathe, and I was so delusional, I stood up to drive myself to the emergency room, and I almost collapsed, and I really don't know how I didn't collapse. After that, I had to have a cardiac catheterization. If no one knows what that is, they thread a catheter up through your groin into your heart to see what's wrong with your heart. But because of my size, I had to do it through my arm. And I had to go to New York Presbyterian because they wanted me to be someplace where they could handle something that would go wrong because they were expecting something to go terribly wrong with everything that was wrong with me. I was also diabetic by this time. And you would think that this would propel me into doing something, but it didn't. That was November of 2011. In 2010. In the beginning of 2011, I just got very depressed again. And for 4 months, I would not leave my apartment. I didn't see anybody. I canceled doctor's appointments, which really wasn't the smartest thing to do. And I wouldn't go anywhere. And then in July of last year, almost a year ago, I had another medical emergency. I had to drive myself to the emergency room this time, and I had to follow up with a vascular surgeon, which I did. And I was sitting in his office, and he walked in, and he said to me, "Your whole problem is you need gastric bypass." And I said, "Well, that's nice, but can you help me with the issue I have?" And he said, "No." And basically, he ended the visit with never examining my problem, and he walked out and said, "Your whole problem is you need to weigh 190 pounds. And he walked out, having never examined me or did anything to help me. And I was humiliated, I was mortified, I was every emotion in the book, and I did what any sane person would do. I stopped at the nearest fast food place, bought as much food as I could, and shoved it in my face as I drove home sobbing. And for 3 days after that, I didn't do anything, I wouldn't talk to anybody, and I just came to, that was my, I hate to give the man credit now, but that really is what propelled me into doing something. And I researched inpatient facilities, which I couldn't find any that I could afford to go to. And I found this intensive outpatient center in Manhattan. And they treat food as an addictive substance, which it is. So I went there in August of last year. And the woman who ran the program said, "If you follow my food plan, I can change your life." And I trusted her because apparently at that point I had no clue as to what I was doing. In July of last year, I weighed 484 pounds. My fasting blood sugar was 390. My A1C was 5.7. And added on top of that, my heart condition and everything else. So I started going, and part of being in that program is you have to go to OA. And I had known about OA for I don't know how many years, and I finally went to a meeting. And I went to the Sunday night meeting, and I went in, and I tell everybody at the Sunday night meeting this, I hated it. I hated being there. And it wasn't anybody that was there. They were friendly, and that even made it worse for some strange reason. I didn't want anything from anybody. And I slowly started working the program. I was staying to the food plan. And one thing that I made a huge mistake was I didn't get a sponsor right away, which was a mistake. December 26th, I binged. And something happened in a meeting, something came up for somebody, and it just freaked me out. And I binged, and I was like, I don't know what to do. So at this point, I really started working the program. I started doing a meeting a day. I do phone and face-to-face meetings. I started reading from the For Today every morning. I started praying and meditating every morning. And prayer was really difficult for me because I was raised Catholic, and I personally have no use for the Catholic religion, and I was confusing spirituality and religion. And it took me a while to get over that. And I got my abstinence, and I was working the program, and I was doing service wherever I could, and I eventually started moderating a phone meeting. And then I went on a business trip for the first time in 10 years in February. And while I was on this business trip, the last day of the business trip, I was tired, I was done, where everyone was at a bar, and I just wanted to be out of here there, but I had the car, I couldn't leave. And I sat there and I looked, and somebody's drink was in front of me, and all I wanted at that moment was a drink and a cigarette, which is odd because I never smoked. So at that moment, I knew, I was like, I am an addict through and through. I need to get, and I heard, and I, my brother's schizophrenic, I don't like to say I heard voices, but I heard my higher power say, "Get your butt out of there," and I did. And I went outside, I called somebody, and I never went back in again. And I shared this at the Sunday night meeting when I got back, and a very special woman said, "You need a sponsor." And she introduced me to my sponsor, who is still my sponsor to this day, and I am so grateful for that, because since I've had a sponsor, it has strengthened my program. having to call every day, having to make commitments, make my food commitments. It is insane to think that you can do it alone, because you can't. And as I was doing this, I started getting a stronger connection with my higher power. And I started listening to my higher power, and for me, that was the most amazing thing. Because I really didn't know if that part of the program would ever work for me, but it did. And I really have to be in tune to that. So I do every day the same thing. I wake up in the morning, I read the For Today, I read Voices of Recovery, I pray and I meditate. I prayed a lot this morning. I follow my food plan, I stick to my commitments. I have sponsees now, I talk to them on a daily basis. And talking to them helps me as well. And I was sharing that, you know, I think my new sponsee was sent to me so I could learn how to be more patient with people. And I just have to remind myself of every day I have to do all of the work. And I have to do everything, and I have to do as much as I can. I still moderate a phone meeting once a week. I'm actually the meeting coordinator for the meeting. It goes 7 days a week. And there's so much recovery on that meeting, it's amazing. It doesn't replace face-to-face meetings. And now, the meeting that I hated, I look forward to going to every Sunday night. Because it's a part of my life. And it's a part of my life I just really could not live without. Because I couldn't do what I'm doing without it. I have blood work in June. My fasting blood sugar is now 85 from 390. My A1C is 5.7 from 9.7. And according to my blood work, I'm no longer considered diabetic. That is a miracle. Everything is a miracle. Every day that I'm alive and I'm breathing is a miracle. Because I was told many years ago that by the time I was 40, I would be dead. Well, 40 came and went, and I'm thinking, okay. And then they said, by the time you're 45, you'll be dead. Well, that didn't happen either. So I'm 47 now. For a long time, I just felt that I was living on borrowed time. But I don't really think about it that way anymore. I just am grateful for every day that I have, and I'm just grateful for so many things. I'm grateful for the recovery center. I'm grateful that that is what got me into OA. And my life today, compared to a year ago at the exact same time, my life is fantastic today. If you had told me a year ago, this month, that I would be standing in front of a room speaking and telling my story, I would have thought you were insane. There's no way I would have done that. But now, I get just as much out of it as anybody else. Every time I share my story, every time I say, tell what happened to me as a child, it helps me. And it helps me to recover, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And without the emotional and the spiritual, I would not be here 176 pounds lighter. And in about 10 pounds, I will be under 300 pounds, which has not happened since 1990. And that is fantastic, and that is great, and I'm grateful for that, but it would mean nothing if I didn't have the connection to my higher power and I didn't have everything that the program has to offer, because you can't do one without the other. It's so important. And I thought when I relapsed or I binged, I thought that was the end of it, that I'm hanging in the towel. And it's like, but no, that's not. It can't be the end, because I truly believe that's not where I was supposed to be. I was not supposed to take that journey that way. I'm supposed to keep going in the way that I'm going. And I'm doing so many more things, like taking the day off and coming down here during the day to speak. I've been on 2 business trips this year. I haven't been anywhere in 10 years. I'm going to Florida to visit family I haven't seen in 8 years at the end of August. So every day I get to experience something that makes me happy. And I never thought I would be happy about anything or joyful about anything. A year ago at this time, I really believed that this was my destiny. My destiny was to just be this overweight, addicted person with no hope or no anything. And all I am filled with today is hope. I know that I'm going to make it through today, and today's going to be great, and then I have to worry about tomorrow. And I used to listen to people say that, you know, we work it one day at a time, and I'm abstinent for so many years, one day at a time, and I always used to say, I don't get it, but I so get it now. Because today is all that really matters. You don't have any guarantees past the moment or past today. Am I almost out of time? How many? Okay. So, I can't believe how far I've come in 1 year. Next month, it'll be a year that I've been on my food plan. And that is amazing to me. And I just want to celebrate it. I think it's just fantastic. I actually have signed up. I'm doing a heart walk in October. I said for many years after my parents died that I was going to raise money for... My mother died from cancer. My father had a heart attack. My father's diabetic. I suffered from all three. And I said, you know, I'm going to do something to give back. And I've never done it. Now I can. And my family, my sister, my niece's husband, they're all going to walk with me. And I've so far raised the most money of anyone in the walk. My team has raised the most money. And it's like, that is just fantastic. I put my original goal of $500 up. Within 12 hours, I had $500 from all the people that were supporting me, and I was just blown away by that. And I'm so grateful to all those people that are supporting me and give me all these words of encouragement. And yes, it's great that I feel great. It's great that I look so much better than I did. But I am great on the inside as well. And if I wasn't great on the inside, the outside would not make a difference. And I have to just remember, I remind myself every day that, you know what, I choose to do this. And I choose to live my life this way because it is the best way for me to live. And every day I'm just grateful. I thank my higher power every morning. I said, thank you for another abstinent day. Let today be another abstinent day. Let me speak and make somewhat sense when I stand in front of a room of people later this morning. So, that's really all I can, and what I just like to end with is that I believe that if I can do this, anybody can do it. Thank you.
Questions for Jim, write it down. We're going to have a nice little question and answer here.